Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. Preeminently the worship book of the Hebrew people, the Psalms, because of their universal appeal, have been adopted by individuals in many nations to express their praise and adoration. Psalm 8 is a noteworthy example. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, what is man that thou dost take thought of him? How majestic is thy name in all the earth! We turn with anticipation to another broadcast in the series of meditations on the Psalms brought by our Message to Israel voice, A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, once again in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The Psalms provide one of the most powerful stimulations for true worship to be found in all the Hebrew Scriptures. They cover that vast range involving man's encounter with the living God. While strong and uninhibited emotional feelings find frank statement in their stanzas, a vital relationship with God and a genuine trust in God control every expression. This divinely inspired Hebrew poetry reveals God is meeting every need of those who place their trust in Him. The eighth psalm, a beautiful hymn of praise, both opens and closes with the strong exclamation, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The intermediate verses set forth God's glory, not merely in his creation of the material universe, but primarily in his creation and intended dignity of man, the chief of his created beings. The sweet psalm of Israel, David, proclaims in the two opening verses of this eighth psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. The main thought that dominates these verses is that God's name excels in majesty. The name of the Lord refers to any and every revelation he gives of himself. This excellence finds manifestation not only in all the earth, but also above the heavens. The distinct glory of the name or revelation of the Lord is thus in clear evidence everywhere in creation. Only the Hebrew saint of that age would write this. Other nations steeped themselves in idolatry. They worshipped the thing created rather than the glorious Creator. Men often make the same mistake today. One of the great foundational truths revealed in the Holy Scriptures is the fact of creation. Yet many make the tragic blunder of equating nature with God. The Hebrew Scriptures, however, reveal God as separate from and above that which He has created. While this expressed adoration of God is filled with reverence and awe, it is also ardent and intimate. The God whose excellent name fills earth and heaven is called our Lord. Here is revealed the mighty possibilities of true faith. It is possible for the Lord, the great Creator, to become ours in a personal and wonderful manner. God will bring himself into covenant relationship with those who will place their trust in him. David also discovered a truth that presents a startling contrast. With all of his glorious creation, earth and heaven, proclaiming his name, and with his praise being chanted on high, This same praise emanates acceptably from the cradle and the nursery. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. How much unbelief has been rebuked by the unswerving faith of a child. David discerned another truth. The honor of the name of the Lord is so secure, the strength of his might is so great, that God needs no more defense for his glory than the utterance of babes. Of course, there are other forces that will take up the defense of his name, but the simple fact that the infant can praise is all his honor needs. David states that the praise, babes, and sucklings lisp is because of thine enemies. It is to still the enemy. God thus puts to shame those who have attained to manhood and refuse to acknowledge God. God simply and easily meets the rising discords of his foes with what is weak and immature. His strength, communicated to the weakest who will trust him, is more than enough to vanquish his strongest foes and to silence his proudest adversaries. The contrast between the praises of angels and the songs of little children, between the glory above the heavens and the mouths of babes and sucklings, is tremendous. By both, however, the name of God is proclaimed most excellent. David continues his observations in verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? As a faithful shepherd of his father's flocks, David had ample opportunities to observe the heavens. What is the whole of this globe compared with the vast solar systems? Stand still and consider the wondrous work of God, declared ancient Job. Such a consideration, each time the heavens are viewed, suggests one conclusion. How can it be that he who created the vast heavens should ever have busied himself with a little being called man? The Hebrew word for man in this instance suggests frailty. David declared elsewhere that God knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The tense of the Hebrew verb here in Psalms 8:4 suggests the consideration of a particular historical event, the creation of man. The following verses explain this in detail. Verses 5 through 8 declare, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas." David recites here the creation of man and his investment with honors and responsibilities as recorded in the first book of Moses, Genesis. Man's assignment was to a definite position of rulership over all things in the world. The statement declares man's dignity with rare emphasis. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. The expression is very bold in the Hebrew. The word, translated often as angels, is actually here the word for God, Elohim. This clearly describes man created in the image of God. Before man's fall into sin, Adam stood reflecting the excellence of his Creator. The full list of subjected creatures given in these verses demonstrate the dominion man lost by sin. Man forfeited this assigned position when he fell. Was God's purpose then in man's creation defeated? No, indeed. Since God created man, he may also redeem man. The range of thought in this psalm reaches above the heavens, back to the beginning of creation, and on into the future toward the glorious consummation. This eighth psalm carries implications beyond the first Adam. The language is predictive. The prophets later pick up the theme and speak of that future day when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The first man, Adam, failed. But the second man, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, came upon the scene. The psalmist's words find satisfaction only through the incarnation, death, and reign of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He was made a little lower than the angels. When he entered Jerusalem before his crucifixion, the hosannas of the children displeased the religious leaders. His reply was, "Have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." The new covenant or testament declares, "For it became him in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. The great rabbi from Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, states, "He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. But now we see not yet all things put under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Today, David's greater son sits upon the throne in heaven, crowned with glory and honor. Will you come to God through him?"
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.